Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Praise the Lord. God's good. I've enjoyed worship this morning. How about you? Amen. I can actually bring them back up here and do it again because I've heard singing is in and preaching is out. And so y'all have a wonderful, wonderful team. Amen. It's good to have my wife here with me this morning. She doesn't always get to go when I get to go. And so I'm so glad that she's able to be here. And I've brought my worship pastor and his wife, Philip and Melissa Joins. And so I'm just so glad to have them here with us this morning. Amen. This is a good day, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, I have this subject of teaching on giving God's way, so don't get quiet on me, because what I understand about a Pentecostal church is when you start talking about money, they get quiet. I mean, that's almost as sacred as speaking in tongues. And so I don't want you to get quiet on me, but I'm going to just kind of share some truths that I've journeyed through. I find it very ironic that your pastor would ask me to speak on a subject like this, because about 10, maybe 11, 12 years ago, I was told by a council member — a lot of churches call them board members, council members for me — I was told that, "Pastor Gibson, you are the worst ever that I have ever seen of taking up an offering." And he was right. Because I don't believe you are to guilt people into giving. I don't think you are to manipulate people into giving. You shouldn't be giving out of coercion. You should give on the principles of faith in God's Word, in faith in what God said. Amen? Because I have learned I can trust what God has said in this book when it comes to every area and aspect of life. I have found that it is very easy for us to trust God, that I can ask Him to come into my heart and He can save me from all of my sins and take me to heaven, but I have a difficult time believing He can meet my needs for next week. See, you already started getting quiet on me. I knew that'd be the case. I have no clue where I'm going to go and what I'm going to preach from this morning. That scares my wife to death. And it scares others who know me to death, but that's all right. And, I mean, the reason is I'm working on a book that I'm writing, and it's called The Seven Revenue Streams of God. Because I believe that the people of God doesn't understand that God has many avenues and many revenues, streams of blessing that He wants to get to you. But so often we just look at money, and I have found money to be the least thing that we need in God's economy. I think if we can get the other things operating in our lives, money will show up and follow those things. But when we put our focus on the least, I mean, come on, we serve a God who went ahead and paved His entire streets out of the thing we find the most precious, gold. Are you all right? He said what humanity and mankind would put the most value on, I'll just pave my streets with it. I found out God doesn't have a money issue, we have the issue. Are you all right? And so I'm grateful that I serve an amazing, amazing God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever think, ask, or imagine. I remember several years ago, me and my wife, we were pastoring a church that was in trouble. And financially, we were broke as the Ten Commandments. And so it's just a reality. And my son came in one day, and he was about six. And he said, "Dad, I want a video game." I said, "What video game?" And he told me. Immediately, my mind went to price. It was $60. I'm like, "Son, I can't afford a $60 video game." He said, "Well, I'm going to pray Jesus is going to give it to me." And I'm sitting there telling him, "Son, you can't pray for Jesus to give you a video game." And while I am telling him that he can't ask God to give him a video game, he closes his eyes and says, "Jesus, I really want this video game. Would you send me $60 for that video game?" And I'm like, "Trey, you need to stop. God's not going to give you a $60 video game." And he opened his eyes and he looked at me. He says, "He's not going to give you one. He's going to give me one." I don't know where that boy gets his sassiness from at all. And it happened to be Wednesday night, and the time was around 4:30, quarter to 5, and I took off and I went to church. And our church at that time in Freeport was probably running the whopping total of 15, maybe. Might have been 20 people. And so I went over to the church, get ready for Wednesday night Bible study. And a man showed up. He got there early. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, I was driving down the road this afternoon about 4:30, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said for me to give you this." And he walked in, he reached into his pocket, and he handed me a check. And I just folded it up, put it in my pocket, and to be honest with you, I forgot about it. Had church to do, did church, did my thing, went back into, went home, walked in, and I said, "You know what, Brother Smith gave me a check tonight." And I opened it up, and it was $1,000. And I went to Trey, and I told Trey, my oldest son, I said, "Son, you remember how you prayed today and Daddy told you that God didn't care if you got a video game or not?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Daddy was wrong. God heard you." And I opened it up, I showed him the $1,000 check. I said, "Someone tonight when you were praying said that the Lord spoke to them to give me this check." I said, "Baby, tomorrow we'll go get your video game. You can have the $60. My son looked at me and he said, "Daddy, the whole $1,000 is mine." Boy, it's quick. He's quick. He prayed the prayer of faith, and so he wants the benefits of his prayer. Amen? Amen. God is good to us. Every week in our church, what I do before the offering is I just share a quick 7 to 12 minute teaching on giving. And I share scripture. And like I said earlier, the reason is I want to build people's faith. I want you to give from the premise and the foundation of what the Word of God says. And what I have found is because the truths and the concept of prosperity have been so abused, we have turned a negative ear to any provision from the Lord. But can I help you? Broke cannot help broke. I'm sure in this church as ours, we do outreaches, we do benevolence giving. Matter of fact, Melissa leads an outreach during October that'll minister to 2,000 to 3,000 people. And we do not charge one penny. We allow whoever so will come. And can I help you? If people are not faithful in giving, we cannot do that. On a weekly basis, we help families. And I have found that if I will give them a cup of water, then I can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can give them food, then it has opened up not just their bellies, it has opened up their spirit and their heart to hear the word of the Lord that God is going to speak to us. But I have found broke cannot help broke. And I believe it is a strategy of the enemy of God and the enemy of our souls and the enemy of your lives for the enemy to come in and say, "You know what? You don't need to give. You don't want to give. That church has more than enough," because it keeps us from fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? To go. I know the gospel is free, but to get it out costs some money. You all right? And please, this morning, do not think that everything I'm going to talk about revolves around money, because I think money is an outflow of our very lives. And so when I teach on the concepts of giving, if you haven't given your heart, if you haven't given your life, giving your finances is useless. I mean, I know the scripture says that the Lord desires a cheerful giver. At Mount Bellevue, we take resources from those that give uncheerfully. They just may not be blessed, but we'll still pray over the resources, amen, and try to put them in the right places, amen. For me, the word prosperity, the definition of prosperity means this: divine provision for a divine purpose. Divine provision for a divine purpose. I think what we have messed up in the entire prosperity gospel is, and the truths of prosperity, is that we heap them up so we can have more stuff. God doesn't mind you having stuff, but He does mind stuff having you. Here recently, we had a man in our church, and Pastor Greg was at our church when Bishop Tudor Bismarck gave a word over my life, and that word, very, very timely for our church, timely for my life. And several weeks later, about 3 weeks later, we had a man driving up and down Eagle Drive with us in front of our church, and finally he came in and asked the secretary, "Can I speak with the pastor for 5 minutes?" And she buzzed me, said, "Do you have five?" And I said, "Sure." He came on back, and he walked back there to the back, and he said, "Pastor Don, I've been driving up and down Eagle Drive for the last 2 hours." And I said, "Yes, sir." And to be honest with you, I didn't know the man. He said he attended the church, but I didn't know him. And he said, "Pastor, as I'm driving up and down the road, the Lord began to speak to me and said, 'Everything I have given you, who does it belong to?'" He said, "I wrestled with that, and I said, 'Lord, it belongs to you.'" And he said, "You know, there are more." The Lord spoke to him again and said, "There's more things I want to release to your life, but before I can release it, you're going to have to let something go." And he said, "Lord, what is that?" And the Lord spoke to him. And I'm sitting there. I didn't know what was going on. I'm just not that much in discernment. That's my wife's gift me. I'm lost. And so I'm sitting there listening to his story and talking to him. And he reaches up and he pulls a watch off of his wrist. It's actually this watch right here. And he said, "Pastor, the Lord spoke to me and told me that I need to give this to you, that it would make sense to you." Well, one of the words that Bishop Tudor Bismarck preached was, he said, "There's going to be gifts coming into your life, and God has seen that you've been faithful, and because you've been faithful, now He can trust you with other things." Now, understand, this is so far away from me. I don't care about watches. I don't care about all that stuff. What motivates me is seeing people saved, seeing people won to the kingdom of God, seeing the kingdom of God advance. Because here's the way I figure. I'm a little slow when it comes to theology, but I read that book and it says when this gospel is preached all over the world, the end comes. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I want to do my job, get it preached all over the world and say, "Come quickly." And so he sat there and he handed me this gift. And he said, "Pastor, you need to know that everywhere that God sends you, that everywhere God places you, you're there riding on the Word of God and the prophetic Word spoken over your life." I looked at the watch. I had another watch on that I even liked better. But when I looked at this one, it scared me. I said, "Brother, is this what I think it is?" He said, "It is." He said, "But for me to get my release, I've got to give away something that the Lord had blessed me with." He handed me this watch. I went and got it sized and got it appraised. How many of you love Jesus? I'm looking for the ones that don't, because I don't want to tell you about it if you don't. The appraisal of this watch, it is a Rolex, valued at $10,500. I told him, "I'm scared to death to wear it. Afraid somebody cut my hand off for the watch. I drive cars that didn't cost this much. Are you kidding me?" It's truth! Nah, you're not scared, you'll swap. And I can sit here and tell you today, that man has called us back. He said, "Pastor, this week I'm going to be meeting with him." He said, "Pastor, the Lord has blessed me since I gave that watch away. He has blessed me with real estate. He has blessed me with buildings." He said, "Matter of fact, he told me to give a building away to our youth ministry for a downtown ministry in Baytown." He says, "So, Pastor, I need to meet with you this week because I got to find a way to get that into your hands." And this was the amazing thing. He said, "I want to pay for the bills. I want to pay for the AC. I'm going to pay for the electricity. I just want y'all to have the building and do ministry out of the building." See, because divine provision comes with a divine purpose. You need to understand that. Divine provision comes with a divine purpose. God doesn't just give you stuff so you can have stuff. Are you all right? Amen. Go in your Bible to Mark. I think I've figured out now where I'm going to speak from. So I do this a lot on Sundays. They just don't know it. It's the truth. Mark chapter 12. Can I just for mentioning purposes mention this to you? The seven revenue streams of God are these. Number one is wisdom. You must have wisdom. Can I tell you something? Wisdom goes against the grain of the day and the grain of the hour. I made a prophetic statement actually as a joke. How many know sometimes you can say something and God will say, I'll grab a hold of that and use it. And what you thought you were just clowning around was a joke, I'm going to use it to breathe life into the body. And I made a joke in 2008. We had got blown away by Hurricane Ike, glory to God. Put us in a tent, a 60 by 100 tent outside for 10 weeks, I think it was. And it was awesome. It was wonderful. Had great weather the entire 10 weeks. I'm telling you, we felt like the children of Israel and Moses. We pitched our tent and the glory of God showed up. It was cool. And we're week two into it and we're listening to Fox News, CNN News, all the news, and they're saying, oh, we're in a major recession, the greatest since the Great Depression and all of those things. And I got up on a Sunday morning just impulsed. Now I see it as the Holy Spirit. And I just said, folks, how many have been reading that we're in a Great Depression, that we're in an economic downturn, that we're in the greatest recession this country has ever seen? And everybody raised their hands. I said, well, I'm going to tell y'all what. I just made up my mind I'm not going to participate. I live on a different economy. I don't live on the economy of America. I live on the economy of the kingdom of God. And God knows how to bless His kids in the middle of adverse times and adverse situations. And so we just made that a declaration. The church exploded. And can I tell you something? Since the Great Recession has taken place, our budget at our church has increased $1 million in income during this season, during this time. I promise you, we're no better than you. We just decided we're going to put our trust and our faith in what God's Word says and not what everybody else says. So it is important you get wisdom. See, the Word of God tells us that I think it was Isaac, one of them boys of Abraham. In Genesis 26, he came into a famine. And the scripture says he sowed seed in the famine and reaped 100-fold in the same year. Why? Because he said, God, I may look at everything around me, but I'm going to put seed in the ground according to your economy and not according to everything else around me. Mark chapter 12, are you there? Say, uh-huh. If you're not there, say, wait a minute. All right, man, we got Bible people in this place. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Very familiar scripture to us. And it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. Notice, Jesus isn't sitting in the choir. He's not sitting in the best seat. He went to church. And he sat over near the offering plates. That make you nervous, won't it? Woo! He sat next to the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now notice he wasn't concerned with how much. He was concerned in the attitude, how they gave. And the reason is because man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. We get all excited when we get big numbers in, and God's really not concerned about the big numbers as much as He is the obedient heart. Now, if you give big numbers to Dominion out of a disobedient heart, glory to God, we'll take it and use it for the kingdom. You may not be blessed, but pastor in this church will be blessed. But here He's looking at how they gave. I remember several years ago, I was doing a service in a predominantly African-American church, and he said it was time to take up the offering. And I'm like, okay. And he said, we're going to take up the offering our style. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, you take up an offering one way. I'm thinking. And so he called for the ushers to come forward, and one came up here and one came over here, and they stood there, and one would have come over there and one would have come over there. And they're standing there and they're ready to receive the offering, and the pastor stood up and he said, "How many are ready to give?" And the people went crazy. Nuts. All of a sudden the band cranked up, started playing. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. I'm standing on the front row about like I was this morning, Pastor Greg. Next thing I know, here comes all these folks coming in doing the electric slide. Presence of the Lord is here. Bunch of them, about 400. Presence of the Lord is here. I'm like, what's going on? And Jonna and I are sitting on the front row. The pastor's wife grabs Jonna. Now, y'all got to understand, my wife can't dance. Don't mean that bad, she just can't. Her and I went on a cruise. We're going to take dance lessons. We're going to learn the foxtrot and the waltz. This 80-something-year-old lady come over, tapped Jonna on the shoulder, said, "Honey, you just can't dance. Maybe you need to go play shuffleboard." And me and this 80-year-old lady, we waltzed all over the deal. But the pastor's wife comes up, grabs my wife, and they start. She said, "Come on, sister, we got to take some money." And started dancing to the front of the church. Can I tell you, I'll be honest, I thought that's the goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life. But they were celebrating in their giving. They didn't want giving to be a matter of, "Good Lord, we got to take up another offering." No, 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 no. They wanted to be excited about their giving to the Lord. See, I believe when the Lord is looking at these that are coming to the treasury, He's looking at what is their demeanor like? What is their heart like? What is going on in their spirit and in their attitude? See, because God wants us to give from the position of faith, my friend, not out of need, not out of want, not out of guilt, not out of shame, but just out of, "God, I'm going to put your word to the test and trust your word." Yeah. Amen? Amen. Let's keep reading if I could. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. In other words, it made about a nickel. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Now notice, Jesus isn't looking at how much, because many came and brought a whole lot more. But those 2 mites got that woman's attention. Those 2 mites got the Lord Jesus's. He stopped the offering, called his disciples over, and he said, "Hey, you see that woman right there? That woman right there just gave more than everybody else here because of the way she gave and based on what she had." I asked a man recently, he's going down and buying another restaurant, going to open up another restaurant. He attends our church. And I said, "Brother, are you not concerned about the economy?" And I just wanted to hear what he said, be honest, because I know him. He said, "No, sir, I tithe, and that's up to God." And I looked, because he was so matter of fact, we were playing golf. He really wanted to play golf and not talk business. And he said, "Pastor, I tithe." He said, "I tithe faithfully." And I said, "Yes, sir, I know that." He said, "God's going to take care of me. I'm opening another restaurant." I'm like, "Okay, sounds great." Here's what I find amazing. Those 2 widows' mites, they got Jesus' attention. How amazing would it be if our giving got Jesus' attention? Wouldn't that be incredible? That the giving of your worship this morning, it got Jesus' attention. The giving of love to someone who walks in the door that's looking for love, looking for acceptance, looking and walking in the door of this house wondering, "Can I fit in this place? Will they accept me and love me just as I am?" And you embrace them and you love them and you care for them, and God stands back and the Lord Jesus said, "Oh, that just caught my attention." You know, I really wish the Bible would have told the rest of this story, because it doesn't. But what I have found is you can't outgive God. I have tried. You cannot do it. God will never be in debt to you and me. Never. He doesn't live in the principles of debt. He lives in the principles of overflow. And what I really wanted to know is, if you go and you read the rest of this story, and you go down and you read in Luke 8 and Luke 24, there's some rich women that have been following and ministering to Jesus and helping fund His ministry. And one of their names is Joanna, but it doesn't mention the other women. And if you'll allow me, I think my mind just wanders a little bit. I kind of wonder if that woman who got Jesus' attention in one season was one of those same seven women that began to run around with those that were able later to feed into Jesus' ministry even more so. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but I just kind of wonder that, because I've learned you can never outgive God. Now, yesterday I was in my office and I was praying about today. My wife, she doesn't understand this. I get nervous anytime I speak, whether it's in my home church, who I know everybody, or here. It scares me to death stand up here. I know I kind of fool everybody, but one of the reasons I move a lot, move my hands a lot, is it releases nervous energy. Glory. Back in March, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. First time ever. I'll be taking a group back with me in February. Hey, Greg, have you ever been? No? Oh, sure. Y'all need to send them to Israel with us in February. I'm not kidding you. Need to. Phenomenal. I didn't want to go. Have no desire to go to Israel. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Israel? Why? I'll get to spend 1,000 years there later. But I went, and I'm so glad I went. One of the places we went in the tour was the Pool of Siloam. And at the bottom of the Pool of Siloam, there's all kinds of currency that they found. There's all kinds of monies they found, from the drachma to the widow's mite. And they found all these currencies. And I bought some of it. They don't give it away. You got to buy it. And it's funny. A widow's mite's worth a lot more today than it was then. It has really increased in value. If you'd have bought stock back then in widow's mite, you'd be a wealthy individual today. And yesterday when I was at the office praying and thinking about today, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And as I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me and He said, Greg, your giving and your heart has gotten the Lord Jesus' attention. And at times when you didn't think you were doing this right or doing that right or giving enough here, giving enough there, not just in the area of money, but you've given time and you've given care and you've given concern and you've given love and you've given patience and you've given the Word unashamedly. And the Lord just spoke to me, says, let Him know that He has my attention. And as I begin to think about this woman and how she was promoted, the Lord spoke to me and says, I'm about to promote them like they never thought possible. And I know you've heard these words many, many times before. And what has seemed to be a delay. And the thing that came back to my mind, Bishop Tudor Bismarck gave me a word in the year 2000. It took till 2008 for it to come to pass. When you're waiting on the Word of God, man, 8 years is a long time. When He gave me a word this time, I looked at my wife and said, I don't know if I can handle another word from Him. 8 more years? The next day, it began to happen. Very next day. And the Lord spoke to me during that season, that time. He said, the things I've declared to you are about to take place exponentially, quickly. And that's what the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday for you. And the Lord told me to give you these, and they don't look like much. But they're worth a lot. I promise you. And it's 2 widow's mites that I brought back from Israel. And the Lord says what men think has little value, He says has great, great value in His kingdom. And that your giving and your wife's giving has gotten his attention. And so, I just wanted to give you these in obedience.
Thank you.
We've got to find wisdom and value in our giving. This morning, if I asked you a question, get down to some real money. I was going to get 100, but when I get hundreds, I don't spend them. $20. How many would like to have a $20 bill? I got a few hands that are raised. You got to have 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4. All right, let me ask you a question. I take this $20 bill. I wad it up. Throw it on the ground. I step on it. Rub my dirty little feet in it. I pick it back up. It's all wadded. It's dirty now. Terrible. Even tore it. Who still wants my $20 bill? I got more hands now than before. But why do you want the $20 bill? Value hadn't changed, amen? Can I tell you something more than just in giving? When individuals walk into the building and they have been stepped on by life and they have been beaten down and life has grounded them into powder and they feel like they got the weight of the world of sin and grossness on their life, to your Heavenly Father, their value has not changed
at
all.
That's right.
Not one bit.
That's right.
They are still worth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As much so as you and me. See, sometimes what I think what happens in the body of Christ is we forget where we come from. Every now and then, I like to just reflect. Matter of fact, I'll periodically tell Philip to sing a particular song. And it's an older song, but I have him sing it just so I, just me. Nobody else in the church has to do this. I do this. I want to go down the road of where God's brought me from.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll start singing "When I Think About the Lord," how he saved me, how he raised me, how he picked me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground. Well, he begins singing about it. I start thinking about where the Lord has brought me from in my journey. And my friend, you and I can never forget where God brings us from.
Right.
Amen? And you say, Pastor Don, how does this have to do with giving? Everything. Because whether you give a little or whether you give a lot, you are still valuable to the kingdom of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your value does not change by what you give. It changes how we give because we get God's attention when we give with a pure heart. When we give like that widow woman, God, I may not have much, but everything that I do have, it belongs to you. So whatever it is today that you want, that's what I will sow. That's what I will give. And when we find ourselves giving from that position, it becomes very liberating. It takes the stress off. It begins to put us in the place where God can bless us incredibly. I was thinking the other day about where God has brought us from and what God is doing. And how many know God will bring you from one challenge to another one and see if you learn the principles from the last challenge? I pastored in Freeport for 12 years. Great church. Love those folks there. Matter of fact, one of my spiritual sons is now the pastor of that church. I was able to lead him and his wife to the Lord, and now they're pastoring the church. And when I went to the church, they were $527,000 in debt. With 11 people, that's counting me, my wife, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. The electricity was 3 months behind. No, the electricity was 2 months behind. The water was 3 months behind, and the gas was cut off. When I had told them I'd be the pastor of the church, I didn't know all that. I didn't know you were supposed to ask those kind of questions. Now the bad place to be. And so, immediately I realized, well, the pastor's not getting a paycheck. I worked. It didn't matter to me. I worked. Paid the bills. Trust God. Believe God. I called the lending company because then I found out not only are they $527,000 in debt, they're 10 months behind. And so I called the company and I told them, because we were making a payment of $4,744 every month, well, we were supposed to be. And of that $4,744 a month, $3,986 of that payment was going to interest, penalties, and fines. They were paying 17% interest. Oh, I got a shiver. I don't think that was the Holy Ghost either. And so I called that company and I said, sir, would you please give me the latitude of becoming faithful in our payments? And if I do not miss a payment for 12 months, would you take those 10 notes that we owe and put them on the back of the loan? He said, if you'll be faithful for 18 months, we'll consider that. I'm like, all right. We were faithful. 18 months, faithful, 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 faithful. I got to the 17th month and them jokers sent me a letter. And it said, you must send in astronomical amount of money or face foreclosure. That's not good. I called the guy and I said, sir, remember you and I had an arrangement. I'm not sure who this is. I'm like, I'm the one that's going to drive out to where you're at. I haven't been saved that long. Y'all pray for me. I'm saved, but not holy. I'm working on it. I didn't know what to do. John and I, the next day, were supposed to leave to go to a conference, Bishop T.D. Jakes' pastor school. She goes, what are we going to do? I said, well, this place is gone. We're going to school. Let's go. We took off. We went to Dallas. And we're up there, and they're talking about giving an offering. I'm broke as the Ten Commandments. I can't give. And one night, they're speaking about giving, and they're giving toward the issue of debt release. And my wife looked at me, and she said, we got to give. And the man spoke on a thousandfold anointings, found in Deuteronomy 1, 6, and 11. A thousandfold anointing. I told her, I said, look, we've got X amount of money in our account. She said, give all of it. All of it? Yep, write the check. Okay, I'll tell you what the X amount was, $200. Yeah, that was it. And she said, put in the memo down there for the church. And so I got ready to give the money, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, you have a $100 bill in your billfold. I'm like, God, that's my rainy day money. He said, it's a rainy day. I took the $100 bill out and put it in there with it. I sent it. Nothing great happened. I didn't even have a goosebump. Matter of fact, the person taking up the offering said to bring it to the altars. That was the longest walk of my life. And I thought going there was long. Coming back was really long. And I got back to the deal and I sat down and I'm like, God, you're going to have to do a miracle. I got home. I got a letter. We will be foreclosing on your church on Good Friday. I'm like, well, this will be great. I picked up the phone because I had a great relationship with the school. And I said, hey, Miss Sale, she's a principal. I said, can we have church in your school on Easter Sunday? And pretty much every Sunday thereafter. I told her what was going on, told her what was happening. She said, absolutely. It's open to you. My next phone call was to that company. I picked up the phone and I said, "Hey, bud. You think you're about to get some wonderful beachfront property in Freeport, Texas? You can come and get it. Because Sunday I'll be somewhere else having church." Click. The next day, Jonna comes over to the office. She says, "Somebody's driving around in a rental vehicle taking pictures of everything." I'm like, "Good." I walked outside and said, "Can I help you?" He said, "No, I'm just here to take pictures of your building and the building down the road and the property." I said, "Well, let me get in one of the pictures," and just smile. And here's what I'm forgetting, because I'm moving on. I already gave my money. Can I be honest with you? Because it didn't work immediately, I forgot about it. And what I found is, and I can show you in the Word of God, it's a great, great Word. It's found in Mark 4, 21 through 29. And it's talking about sowing and reaping and the seed going into the ground. And verse 28 says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, for the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Now here's the deal. When it says of herself, that comes from a Greek word called automē. It's where we get the word automatic or automatically. See, when I give with the right heart and with the right attitude, I can forget about it because it's seed been put in good ground. It's God's responsibility from that point forward to automatically cause that thing to come up. Now, here's where you may mess up. It says here that it would grow up. It's one thing to have something come up. It's another thing for it to grow up and become mature. Are you all right? And so I had given the offering in faith and forgot about it. The next day after the guy's taking the pictures, I get a phone call from the Fidelity Company. "Mr. Gibson, how much would you be willing to give us for the settlement of this debt?" I said, $100,000. "Now, sir, you owe 400 and some odd thousand, because we paid some off. But it's 480, 490 something thousand dollars. I said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "But I told you, come and get it. You would do me a favor." "Well, we were hoping you could meet us at $400,000. I said, "Oh, no, forget it. I'm done." You know, because I done got bold. I mean, my biggest fear was to go and tell the council, "Hey, guys, we lost the church." They're like, "Are you leaving?" I said, "Well, no." They said, "Church's still here. Wherever you're going, we'll go." I'm like, "Really?" They said, "Yeah, this building needs a lot of maintenance anyway." Glory. And the man said, "Well, could you meet me at $300,000? I said, "No." I said, "I tell you what, how about $200,000? This was on a Wednesday. Jonna is sitting across the desk from me. She goes, "Where are we going to get $200,000? "Same place I'd have got $100,000. "Don't know." I said, "No, I won't do $300,000, but I'll do $200,000. He said, "Could you have it in my office by Friday?" I said, "I tell you what, it'll be in your office by Friday. If not, you can have the building." Hung up phone. John goes, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I met a guy one time. I'm going to call him." We got close to the same last name. We might be related. I don't know. I picked up the phone of Bill Gibbons of AG Financial Services. I called Bill. I said, "Hey, Bill, here's my situation. Here's my predicament. I know you've never had a phone call like this in your life, but here it is. I need $200,000 in the next 2 days, and I don't have time to do all the paperwork. You don't know me from Adam, but can you help me? He said, I'll get back to you tomorrow. I said, okay, that's going to be 1 day. Hung up the phone. What I didn't realize is he called Brother Granberry. As soon as he hung up the phone, he called Pastor Granberry. Pastor Granberry said, the kid was worth it. He'll pay y'all back. Give him the money. What I was expecting was the next day phone call. I got a phone call back in 45 minutes. Bill says, give me the tracking number and the information. We'll get it worked out. You got to fill out the application afterwards. I said, oh, I got to apply for the money afterwards. He said, just kind of paperwork trail. And I said, so you're telling me I'll have Easter Sunday in my building? He said, sir, you'll have a lot of Easter Sundays in your building. We'll take care of it. I hung up the phone, and as soon as I hung up the phone, Jonna looked at me and she said, that's at $300 we gave in that offering. God turned it around 1,000-fold. I forgot about it, and it automatically began to spring up. Let me close with this thought today, okay? Can I do that? Here's my final thought. It's found in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. I kind of like this, and this is kind of where I believe our house is in and our church is in. I tell you that story about the $527,000 deal because right now we at our church are facing a building campaign. And really feel like we've heard from the Lord and what we're to do. And right now we're looking at the numbers and they're $6 million, a little over. Closer to $7 million. But once you get beyond 2 or 3, what's another million? Sort of like, where are you going to get the first 3? I guess same place I'll get the next 4. See, because I learned a long time ago, if I can trust God for 100, I can trust Him for 100,000. And if I can trust Him for 100,000, I can trust Him for 1 million. For us, it's another 0. For God, it's nothing. It's absolutely 0. He has more than enough. All we've got to do is line ourselves up with His program, His strategy. And He will begin to pour out blessing upon you. Just quick thought. Philippians 4:19 says that He would give to us according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I asked a Jewish rabbi what that meant. What does that mean to you? He said, oh, that's so easy. I said, okay, come on, easy. I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. He said, the riches of God's glory in Christ Jesus is this. Out of the realm of His glory and out of the realm of His dominion, He will pour out to you ideas, creativity, favor, blessing, whatever you need. See, some of you this morning, you've made a great mistake. You thought you needed money, but you don't. You need favor. Others, you have favor, but what you need is a relationship. You need a divine hookup. Because I have found that sometimes divine relationships, a divine hookup, and I have found favor can get me indoors where money will never get me. And sometimes when I was saying earlier, we need to understand the revenue streams of God. It's because we ask for the wrong thing and it's not that which we need. All we need is maybe wisdom, maybe a vision. Because I've learned provision follows vision. Maybe we need a little more information. Maybe we need a relationship somewhere that would open a door that currency could come to us. Are you with me? Let me close with this, and I'm done. Look at your neighbor and say, praise the Lord, He's finally finished. Look out and say, I've been uncomfortable for a while. We've been talking about money. Exodus 3:21-22. And then I'll jump down to verses 31 and 36. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go, that you shall not go out empty-handed. Now, hear this. The children of Israel have been in Egypt for over 400 years. They've worked as slaves. They've worked as people under great bondage. When Moses came and God sent the plagues, he attacked all 10 of the Egyptian gods. Every plague is a direct assault against a deity that Egypt worshipped. Because God said in His Word, I will have no other gods before me. And so here the Lord turns their deities against themselves. But the whole time, in the middle of that collapse, in the middle of that disaster, children of Israel are blessed. God's taking care of them. God's providing them. They said, you got to make bricks without straw. They took away the straw. They made more bricks and better bricks. Why? Because God knows how to give His people strategy and wisdom in the times of difficulty. That's the reason why every time I watch the news and they're saying this terrible thing's happening, that travesty's happening, man, I get back in the Word and I say, God, you got wisdom for this, because this didn't catch you off guard. It didn't catch the children of Israel off guard, and it's not going to catch you off guard. So you have a strategy and you have insight to see the kingdom of God advance. God, I just need a hook up with you to find out that insight, that wisdom, and that strategy. And He gives it. He will give it to you. And He says here, you shall not go out empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Verse 31. Then He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among the people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of the Lord through Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and the Lord had given people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Let me help you. Tithing is the antithesis to this world system. Tithing, I got a report from George Wood. He sent us a thank you letter saying that only 4% of our churches last year gave at the same level or above in missions. Just wanted to thank you. Because even across the globe, I know here people have fell on hard times. Some in our own church has fell on hard times. But can I help you? I do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for a church that is more weak, that is in worse shape and worse condition than the church He left here when He ascended in Acts chapter 1. Matter of fact, when I go and I read about this church of Israel going out of Egypt, the Scripture says that there was not one found among them that was feeble and frail. And they all went out, and none of them were empty-handed. I promise you, this is what is about to happen in the body of Christ, and is happening. This world and its Egyptian system, it is going to collapse. I promise you. It's going to. I've read the book. It has to. But God knows how to take care of His kids right in the middle of all that. He knows how to bless His kids right in the middle of all that calamity in everything that's going on. He says you can look at all the struggle and you can continue to believe in the American way, or you can believe in the kingdom way. Because whatever thing you sow into, you have access to reap out of. If you sow into the kingdom, from the kingdom you can reap. If you sow into our current economy, from that you can reap. Are you with me? You say, Pastor Don, what are you saying? I'm saying you can trust the Word of God. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, you will not go out empty. Amen. Very famous scripture, you all know it. It gets a bad rap because I think it was preached wrong. Just my personal opinion. Malachi 3:10, will a man rob God? Yet you and this whole house have robbed me with tithe and offering. And then there's such a guilt to that. Man, I heard it. You're robbing God when you don't give. Are you kidding me? You think God needs your $3.36? Really? No, that's not what you're robbing Him of. When you don't release that which He has given to you to tithe, when you don't release that, you rob God from blessing you. You rob God from bestowing favor upon you. I remember talking to Pastor Walter Hallam. He and I are good friends. And I was talking to him, and he said, you know the thing I miss about my daughter passing? Is every year on her birthday, I'd take her to the mall, and I'd buy her a new outfit. And I'd buy her new shoes, and I'd buy her some makeup and jewelry, and I just love blessing my daughter. And at Christmas, her and I would go and buy her mom something, and I'd buy her whatever she wanted for Christmas because I just love to bless her. He said, the thing I miss most about my daughter passing is I don't have the opportunity to bless her. My friend, when we do not give, no matter what that is, see, there might have been someone who walked in this door today and they needed a handshake and they needed a hug. And you're like, Lord, that's just kind of out of my comfort zone. It's not about your comfort zone. It's about the kingdom of God being advanced. And when you hug that person and you love that person, today that might have been your offering to the Lord. It got God's attention. And God said, ooh, they set up, I'm going to bless them. They just don't know how much I'm going to bless them. See, will a man rob God? What do we rob him of? Not of money. We rob him of having the ability of a heavenly Father to bless his kids. Because it says when you don't give, there's a curse on you. And God says, I can't bless you beyond that because then the devil can hold it against me. I would be unjust at that point. But because I'm a just God, and when you do give, automatically it releases blessing into your life. It might not always be money, because money may not be what you need. How many know God will give you what you need? Amen? How many say, I can trust God for what I need, and He knows what I need? I don't know about you. I thought I figured God out, and I thought I had it all lined out. And I said, God, if you'll do this, this, and this. God has never gotten in my day planner. I wish He would. I got great ideas for Him. But He always gets me from point A to point E. B, C, and D never look the way I think they should. But He gets me there. And He'll get you there. Amen. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we love you today. I thank you for the blessing of the Lord. And Father, I declare over this house, God, that favor and blessing and resource, God, will fall upon their lives. God, upon their hearts. Father, I thank you that there are some today. You're already working in their behalf. You're already lining up strategy, Lord. You're already moving. God, they've sown a seed, some a long time ago. They even forgot about it. But Lord, you took note. You took record. Father, because you're a great bookkeeper. And Father, you're already working and turning those things around for the good of these folks. And Father, I thank you today as they make their plans, as they make their strategies. Lord, would you release from heaven everything that they have need of? Father, that your blessing, the blessing over the Lord will overtake them. And Father, if there be those that have walked into this house today, and Father, they find themselves in need of a job, God, in need of employment, God, I ask, Lord, this week would be a fruitful week. It would be a week of favor. Lord, they'd find the resumes that they sent out a while back this week getting phone calls in return. And Father, that you would bless them with the favor of the Lord simply because you're a good God. Father, simply because you have your best and our best at your heart. And we give you glory for it. We give you honor for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said amen. 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 Thank you for letting me be here this morning with you.
Amen.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.